Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast today. If this is your first time listening in with us, we want you to know that you are loved. Wherever you're joining us from, we hope that this message inspires you. And now, here is Pastor Jesse Norman.
Welcome to our brand new series and titled Welcome Home. And I just thought it was so fitting around this Thanksgiving season to be talking about God's great initiative to humanity, which is to welcome us all home into the love of the Father. Amen? And but before we move on, I wanted to celebrate something that our church has been a part of for the last couple days. Our My City Worship and Creative have been in Des Moines for the last 2 days, leading worship and really just bringing a breath of fresh air to one of the largest adoption conferences in the country called Hope Adoption. I think it was 250 families that are considering adoption or are in the process of adopting children. And I just thought it was amazing to see so much hope being spoken into people, the presence of God, worshiping. I was just thinking about this today. Because of your giving today, just think about this. Over the last 2 days, you were able to help a family who may be very, very nervous about adoption, but they're reaching out to what? Make the world a better place, to pull a child that doesn't have a family into their family. Man, we get to be a part of this, what God is doing. And we can't do it, like, none of this happens without people being generous. I had a friend say this to me all the time. Jesse, you have vision for your church, and that's the direction you're going to go. But the people's generosity determines how fast we can go there. And to this last couple weeks, because of your generosity, just think about that. We helped 250 families have hope in their heart and encouragement for the next season of their life. Can we celebrate that, man, just for a moment? So amazing. And maybe you've been around here for a little bit and you want to get involved. And tomorrow night, we have creative team night. If you're creative around here and you would like to be a part of our worship or photography teams, just show up tomorrow night. It's right here in this room. And we'd love for you to be a part of that. Love for you. Maybe if you've been around here and you're like, I'm not creative at all, that's okay. Man, we'd love for you to jump into one of our next classes. I tell people this all the time. You give us 4 weekends, we'll tell you all about what our church is about. We'll get you connected. We'll establish some spiritual foundations in your life. We'll even help you discover who God's made you to be and your best fit in church, where to serve. And we'll even start to talk to you about the leadership potential in your life. 4 weeks, man, promise to set your life on a brand new course here in church. And just so excited that next happens right after this service each and every week. So how many of you ready for the Word of God? If you got your Bibles with me, Luke chapter 15, and I'm going to read a little bit of scripture, quite a bit of scripture, actually. I want to set this up. This is a famous parable. Many of us would have heard it before. It's the parable of the prodigal son. And today I want you, many of you may be familiar with it, and you may know the story, but today I want you to dive into it like you've never read it before, because I believe God's going to speak to us. I want to set up real quick the crowd that Jesus is speaking to when he tells this story. Luke chapter 15, verse 1, it says, "And then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him." So there's two different kinds of people in this crowd, right? The what? The Pharisees and the sinners. Notice both are trying to draw near to Jesus. And here's what the Pharisee says. "And the Pharisees and the scribes complained, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' So he spoke to them in parables, saying," so here's this crowd, right? Two different kinds of people in this crowd, the Pharisees and the sinners. The Pharisees are complaining because Jesus is receiving sinners and eating with them. And here's the scene. And so Jesus begins to tell stories. I love Jesus. People make statements, Jesus tells stories. And Jesus begins to tell a story to show them a little bit of something about them, these two people in this crowd. Now we're going to turn over to Luke chapter 15 and verse 11, and this is the story of the prodigal son. And here's what it says. "Then he said, 'A certain man had two sons.'" Say two sons. See, sometimes, unfortunately, we've called it the parable of the prodigal son, but it's actually the parable of two sons. "And a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the portion of goods that falls to me. What is he saying? I want my inheritance right now. I'm not going to wait till you die. I want it right now. So he being the father, divided to them his livelihood. And now many days after, the young son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. What does that mean, prodigal living? Kind of a strange word to us, but it just means, man, I'm just going to do whatever I want. I'm going to just live carefree. I'm going to do whatever I feel like doing. And he wasted it on prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to want. Then he went and joined himself to the citizens of that country, and they sent him into his field to feed swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods that the swine ate, and no one gave him anything. But when he had come to himself, he said, "How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father's house, and I will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck, kissing him. And the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and am no longer worthy to be called your son.'" Now look how the father responds. "But the father said to his servants, 'Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry.'" What's the father saying? "We're going to throw a party. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he was found." And they begin to make merry. They begin to party. "Now his older son," now notice the transition. We start talking about the second son. "Now his older son was in a field, and he came and drew near to the house. He heard the music and dancing." What's he doing? He's been out working. He's coming back and he realizes there's a party going on. So he called one of the servants and asked, what is these things supposed to mean? And he said to him, "Your brother has come, and because he has been received safe and sound, your father has killed the fattened calf." Notice the older son's response. "But he was angry and would not go into the party. Therefore his father came out and pleaded with him. So he answered and said to his father," look at this language, "'These many years I have been serving you. I have never transgressed your commandments at any time, and yet you have never even given me a young goat that I may make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours has come, who devoured our livelihood with harlots, and you have killed the fattened calf.' And the father said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should party and be glad, for your brother was dead and now is alive again. He was lost and he was found.'" Quite an amazing story of two brothers that Jesus is speaking to in this story. Today I want to talk to you from this topic or this thought: home is where the Father is. You've heard it said, home is where the heart is. Today I want to challenge you: home is where the Father is. Let's pray. Father, we thank you today, Lord God, that we get to be in your house. So we pray you come and speak to us. Lord God, I pray, Lord God, that you would challenge every person in here to fully understand what it means to be welcome home by your great love. Lord, we worship you, we honor you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for sunshine, Lord, and no more snow. We're proclaiming it in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Come on, if you love Jesus in this place, let's put our hands together for him. Come on. Oh, come on, we can do a little bit better than that. Come on. So by a show of hands, how many people in this room, like, you've lived in multiple cities or multiple states? Okay, about 50% of us. That was one of the things that I loved about Omaha when I first moved here. I would meet people all the time. We moved here from Miami. Nobody is from Miami. Like, you walk up to people. I don't know if the whole time I lived there, if I ever met somebody that was born and raised in Miami. Like, the city is just full of people. You ask people, hey, where are you from? And they're like, oh, I'm from Haiti, or I'm from Jamaica, or I'm from Colombia, or I'm from Brazil. Nobody's like, you know, I'm a Miamian. I don't know what that means, but it sounds good, you know? But you come to Omaha, and you meet a lot of people. Like, they were born here. They were raised here. It's actually one of the things that I really, really love about our city, because there's a level of sense of identity. Like, yeah, we're Nebraskans. You know what I mean? Like, you understand what I'm saying. I actually really, really love that. But I didn't grow up in just one city. In fact, I was born and raised in Tucson. And 2 weeks ago, I had the opportunity to go back to Tucson. And it's so weird. If you've lived somewhere for a long time and then you moved away and then you go back. Because there's parts of you that feels like this place should still feel like home. Like, you go back, but you drive around and you've got memories. Oh, I remember when that happened. I drove by my high school, and I remember when that happened. But no matter how many memories or how familiar you are with a place, there's something about it that just doesn't quite feel like home anymore. I got to thinking about that and why it didn't feel like home for me anymore. And I started to realize that home is a whole lot more than a location that I live in, a place that I go, or a set of behaviors or experiences that I've experienced. Home has so much more to do with the relationships that I have in my life. See, Tucson doesn't feel like home anymore because the people I care about the most are living right here in Omaha, Nebraska. See, home has to do with the focus of your relationships. I want us to keep that in mind as I begin to get into this story that Jesus is telling. I first want to highlight this crowd that Jesus is speaking to. Think about it for a moment. Jesus has gotten the attention of everybody. The Bible literally says they all came to him. All being who? All of humanity. Jesus is trying to show us that there are these two categories of people that really represent all of humanity. And what do we see? The Bible says that the sinners and the tax collectors, what is this? These are the people that are on the wrong side of the tracks. These are the people that like, they're not really interested in living by God's commands. They're just kind of living up life. If I was to frame up this crowd, I would say it like this. They are the people that literally operate by, like, self-discovery, right? So, like, hey, man, I'm just going to go out there and have fun. I'm going to go out there and have fun. I'm going to do me. You do you, boo-boo. You know what I mean? Like, that's kind of the mentality. Like, I'm just going to, you know, this crowd of sinners, these are the ones that have hashtag don't judge me. Okay? You don't know my story. You know what I mean? This is kind of their mentality, okay? So we have these people, the sinners coming. But here's the crazy part. They really wanted to get close to Jesus. Okay? Then we have this other crowd called the Pharisees. Now, these are the guys that we would say are in the God crowd. Like, they're on the inside of things. They've kept all the rules, all the regulations. When people ask, who are the godly people in your city? These would be the people that most people would think, oh, these are the godly people. And so Jesus is breaking up this crowd, and he's going, hey, I've got the sinners, and I've got the Pharisees, and they are both trying to figure out how to get to God. Here's what I want you to understand. Life is made up of two kinds of people, the Pharisee and the sinner. But here's what I want you to know about these two groups of people. Everyone, it doesn't matter what your belief system is, everyone is trying to relate to God. Some are just sinners and others are Pharisees. So just think about our world that we live in right now. Here's what I would say. The person who says, I'm an atheist, I would say to them, you are still trying to relate to God. You're trying to disassociate yourself from God. The person who grew up in church and has kept all the rules and regulations but doesn't have the life of the Father on the inside of them, they're not pumped when people get saved. They're not excited when worship's going on. They don't have joy flowing through their spirit. But friends, they're keeping all the rules. Here's what I would say. They're trying to relate to God through their good behavior. And Jesus sees this, and they're both pressuring him. Who's right? Is it the sinners? Because the sinners are coming to Jesus, but the Pharisees are going, hey, this is not appropriate. They don't belong here. They shouldn't be being welcomed home like this. And Jesus, in all of his brilliance, begins to tell a story about two sons. Notice it's two sons. Two sons, one for each crowd. Two sons that would connect to the heart of the matter, to the sinner, and to the Pharisee. He begins to tell a story of two sons. Now, this story is broken up in two acts. Act one is the younger brother in this story. I want to walk you through this act one, the younger brother. Here, just to recap the story, here's what happens. This younger brother wakes up one day and says, man, I've had enough of being in my father's house. See, what does he look at the father's house? The father's house is a place of restriction. It's a place of rules. And you know what? I can't find myself in this tight box that dad has put together for me. So you know what, dad? I want my inheritance now. What is he literally saying to his dad? Get this. I'm going to treat you like you're dead. See, you have to understand, at this time in the Middle East, We all have different jobs. Our inheritance, if you receive one, is going to come to us through a 401k transfer or a bank transfer. They didn't have that. They had land that was passed down from generation to generation. Each generation would try to expand the land that they owned. And what is this? But the only way you got your inheritance is when your father passed. So this young man, you got to understand how disrespectful this is, right? He's literally coming to his dad going, Dad, I'm literally going to treat you like you've died. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to give me my inheritance. Now, if you know anything about this time and this space and people's idea of fatherhood at this time, was you did not disrespect your father. Your father was the patriarch of the family. What he said goes. And you can only imagine when people are hearing Jesus tell this story, what they are thinking is about to happen. It's called a switch. Come on, how many of you remember a switch? You know what I mean? My grandma used to use a switch. She'd be like, Jesse, and it wasn't the part of the switch. It was the fact that you had to go find your own switch. That was the worst part. You had to go out to the tree and break it off, and then she'd sit there and stare at you while you cleaned it up. You know what I mean? And you're like hyperventilating because you're crying because you know what's about to come. Okay, grandma, you know what I mean? And then she just barely gets you. But it was the anxiety that killed you the most, you know? That's what they're thinking in this story. This father is going to beat this boy. This is so disrespectful. This is so dishonoring. But look at the father and how he responds. He says, okay. Okay, I will give you what's yours. Please understand what's going on here. He didn't have cash money in the bank. It's not like he just went to the bank and withdraw it. He's literally having to put up property to sell. He's having to uproot his life because of his son. See, Jesus is trying to help us see Father God in a different way. See, many times we're praying for God to change something. But friends, God is a great father, and he's also a gentleman. He will not force himself on anybody. He will give you your greatest desire. And so the picture here from the younger son is what? I don't want the father. I just want his stuff. I don't want the father. I just want his stuff. Can I tell you, that's half of our world right now. What are they saying? God, you gave me life. You gave me a breath. You gave me a life and a cause. But I don't want your, I don't want you. I just want your stuff. I just want my life to go do with it whatever I want to do with it. And here's the deal. God will let you do just that. So we have this younger brother. What does he do? He goes off and he wastes everything. He wakes up one day in the middle of a pig pen, wishing he could eat the pig food. And here's what he does. He begins to make a dialogue. He's beginning to think, this is awful. I don't want to be here. I need to go back home. Because even the servants in my home, but he has this dilemma because he's trying to figure out, will his father take him back? So he starts to build this system, right? This system. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go back. I'm going to say, hey, dad, like, I know I've screwed up. I know I'm not worthy to be your son. Let me become like a servant where I receive a paycheck. What is he saying? I'm going to pay you back. That way I can come back into the family. Okay? But notice how the father responds. The father throws on a coat, loves him, embraces him, pulls him in, kisses him. But in the middle of that, he's throwing a party, and then we enter into Act 2, which is the elder brother. The elder brother sees all this partying going on, and he is not happy about it. Why isn't he happy? Now, to fully understand this story, because his younger brother has already taken his inheritance and went and wasted it, the elder brother now owns everything. He owns everything. Why? Because in that society, the elder brother got a double portion. So out of all of it, he would have got 2/3 of the inheritance. The younger brother would have got 1/3. Well, the younger brother's already got what's coming to him. And he's left the home. And he's not welcome anymore. He's not welcome anymore. So everything else that the father does, any gain, any prosperity, what? It's all going to the elder brother. See, here's what I want you to get. The younger brother wants the father for his stuff. Guess what the older brother wants the father for? His stuff. They just have two completely different ways of relating. Just look at the elder brother's response. Father, I have kept every single rule that you've put out in front of me. Have I not been here as a faithful servant? Have I not done anything? And now you are letting this little brother who went and wasted everything come back in to the inheritance? No, I've done all of this, so what? What you have will become mine. See, here's the story. See, the younger brother and the older brother both understood this, that when the younger brother came, the younger brother thought he was going to have to work his way back into the family. As soon as the father embraced him and surrounded him with, listen, he put his coat on him. He put his ring on him as a sign of authority. He killed the fattened calf. What is he saying? I am restoring you back to the family. That elder brother immediately understood. Now he's going to get what? The same as me. He already wasted 1/3. Now he's back into the family. He's going to get another 1/3, which what? Makes 2/3. So he doesn't deserve this. I've done all the right things. I've performed. I've done all the right things. And he is not happy about this. So here's the picture. Here's Act 1 and Act 2. Act 2 ends just on a cliffhanger. It's very frustrating. Because you don't know, like, what happened? Did he finally get over himself? Did he come into the party? Like, who knows what happened after this? But I think Jesus is leaving this story to what? Make this big declaration to us about humanity and the way we try to relate to God. See, you got to understand, in this moment, Jesus is saying some radical things. He's looking at these two crowds, the sinners and the Pharisees. And what is he saying to them? Here's what he's trying to get them to understand. You both are lost. One of you thinks you're on the inside track to God. One of you is on the outside track of God. But he's trying to say, hey, you've missed some things along the journey. You both are in the same boat. That's why you both need a Savior. See, we're all trying to relate to God. Some of us are just younger brothers. So I'm going to just do my thing. Some of us are Pharisees, trying to check off all the marks. But the real motivation of both of these brothers was what? It wasn't the father. It was his stuff. And Jesus is saying, you're both lost. See, Jesus is making some crazy statements right now. He's redefining everything for these people. Jesus is redefining God. Jesus is redefining sin. And Jesus is redefining salvation all in one story. He's rocking their world because he's looking at what? The outcast, the sinner, and he's saying to them, you belong here. He's looking at the Pharisee and he's saying, I know you think you're on the inside track. You are also outside of this. You need to come back home. He's looking at two different people, one based on performance, one based on I'll do whatever I want. And he's saying, listen, you're both just as lost. What is he redefining? He's redefining God. See, you got to get this today. He's redefining God. What? That God is a father. Now, for me and you, that seems like, well, yeah, obviously, like Jesus taught us to pray, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You got to understand what a revolutionary concept that was that Jesus brought. Like, look through the Old Testament, how often you see God referred to as Father. Jesus is radically shifting the level of expectation and what salvation and what God is all about. He's saying God is our Father and this world is his house. And we've got some people trying to get to God by their good behavior. And we got some people who just aren't interested in getting back to God based, they're just going to do whatever they want. But all of these people need to have an understanding that the pathway home is not performance. It's not my list of what I qualify to do. It's a simple laying down all of my self-righteousness and focusing on what? A father who loves me and cares for me. You gotta see how Jesus is reframing fatherhood. Jesus is reframing fatherhood in this. Notice how the father responds to that younger son when he's coming home. The Bible, after all this disrespect, after taking everything that he's given him and wasting it, the Bible says that the father sees him a long ways off, which means there's something about the father that is seeking people. It wants, come home, come into the family. Come. Here's the deal, but in the father's house, there are rules. Notice that the younger son, he had to go, but the doorway home was always open. See, the father, not only that, but he saw him a long ways off. He lifted up his tunic, which Middle Eastern men did not do, by the way. This would have been like super like embarrassing. It would have been like, you know, nobody would have respected that. And not only that, he's disrespecting himself to run after a son that disrespected him. What is Jesus saying? Hey, I know in this culture, you think being a father is just about putting a bunch of rules and being the man and being in control, but that's not the father's heart. The father's heart is to chase after broken humanity. The father's heart is to restore you back into right relationship. The father's heart is to bless your life. The father's heart isn't to constrain and to control. He's redefining God, but then he begins to redefine sin. Just look at this. We immediately begin to relate to this because we see the younger son, and he's went to a far-off land, and what has he done? He went clubbing. That's what he did. He went clubbing, and, you know, he was paying for the party, and he's just out there doing his thing. He's trying to what? I'm just trying to find myself out here. Does this sound like a world a little bit? I'm just trying to find myself. I'm self-discovering out here. And we look at that and we go, yeah, like he's out like doing all those things. Like, you know, it's the old, you know, little Christianese saying, you know, like I don't cuss or chew or go with girls that do. You know, we look at those things. I know this is a joke. It's a joke. You laugh. But isn't that how we think of sin? Isn't that how we think of sin? That there are these like pet things that if we stay away from, like that is sin. But Jesus is going so much deeper than that. He's going, hey, a little bit of behavior modification isn't deep enough in the middle of this thing. And what does he do? He begins to say that what the elder brother is doing in this situation is sin. See, here's what I want you to get today. Following Jesus is just as much about leaving behind the good works you've trusted in as it is, leaving behind the ugly sin you were stuck in. See, we can jump from one pendulum to the other. I see this happen in church all the time. People come in, they're stuck. They're out in the pig pen. They're out in the pig pen. And then they come home and they get a what? A little bit of living under their belt. A little bit of knowledge. The deep teaching. I try not to be sarcastic, but I watch this happen all the time. And they come in, they get in God's house. And what? It starts becoming all about them. Well, no, I'm there. I'm serving. I'm performing. And they jump from younger brother to elder brother. And what are they missing? That they're just as lost. Just because you're here, friends, just because you're here in church, worshiping or going through the motions, does not mean that you have been found. Only you know if the dead thing has come alive on the inside of you. You know how you can tell? Because when people come home, what did the older brother do? He didn't celebrate. Oh. See, elder brothers, there's always something to pick apart. There's always something wrong. Because why? That's the way they roll their life. I'm good enough. I'm good enough. I'm good enough. Maybe if the church had deeper teaching, I would grow. Maybe if it had this, it would be better. Maybe if, and they're missing. Do you not see that younger, there's people getting saved all over the place? The gospel's being preached. The Spirit of God is here. The presence of the Father is here. See, a true person who's crossed from death to life looks at that and goes, check this out. He's pumped. Because why? He's more concerned not about what he wants and what he deserves. All he cares about is what the Father wants and what the Father needs in his life. I'm passionate about this morning. Because I see people walking in religion and they think that they're following God. Friends, Jesus is redefining sin. And he's saying this, anything that you put trust in to save yourself, whether it's your good works, your good behavior, or what? Just completely blowing all those off and what? Trying to take your life into your own hands. I'm gonna make my own way. I'm gonna self-discover. I'm gonna figure this out. He said, it's all lost. You're all lost. So what is the real sin? It's to look at the Father and not want him, but to want his stuff. Does that define it for everybody? So what kind of church are we? A welcome home church that's gonna embrace the love of a father. What kind of church are we? We're gonna celebrate when the younger brother comes home. We're gonna celebrate when the younger brother comes home. We're gonna do whatever it takes. Because that's who we are. Welcome home. Welcome home. Welcome home. We're just gonna fall more in love with God. We're not going to get wrapped up in our own performance. We're going to fall more in love with God because Jesus is redefining sin. But then he's also redefining salvation. Like, please hear this. Notice in this story, who is the initiator with the younger brother and the older brother? The father. See, the younger brother was a long ways off and the father went running to him. The elder brother was standing outside going, I'm not going into that. And the father came to him. See, salvation has so much more to do with your response to the father heart of God than it does your behavior. Don't get me wrong. When you come home, guys, you can't be a younger brother and just go, well, I'm going to live in the father's house and I'm going to do whatever I want. Okay? And the older brother, you can't just sit in God's house and follow all the rules and do all the things but miss the love of God. Neither one of these things are helpful. This is the hardest part for me as a pastor, is I have to deal with these. Because people come home and they don't drop their younger brother or they don't drop their older brother, and I have to say, hey, we're all here for Papa. We're all here for Papa. So yeah, I'm gonna challenge your lifestyle a little bit. If you're a younger brother, yeah, I'm going to challenge your lifestyle a little bit. But if you're an older brother, if you're full of self-righteousness and self-performance, I'm also going to challenge that. Because what? Neither one of these have to do with anything why God has saved us. He has saved us to call us into his very home. He has saved us to bring the broken home. He has saved us to throw a feast. He has saved us to make a party. So salvation has to do with the love of the Father coming to us. And here's the deal. It also has to do with us repenting. Hear me. Repenting from things other than just sin. Now, some of you are like, what? Wait a minute. I'm going to rephrase that word sin as what we think it is. Oh, I cuss. I stopped that. I'm good now. Me and God are good. You smoke cigarettes? Cut that out. Me and God are good. See, that's what we think sin is, turning away from those things. But could it be that it's so much deeper than that? That repenting, what we need to repent from, is anything in us that still wants our way, still wants life on our terms, still wants the Father's stuff, but we don't want the Father. We've got to lay that down where our life's mission, our life's calling is, God, I want you. Nothing more, nothing less. I want all that you have for me. My life is surrendered to you. I'm going to plant myself in the house of God, and I'm going to trust that he's going to make me flourish. You know, I got to thinking for a moment as I bring this to a conclusion about this elder brother. What an emphasis Jesus placed on this elder brother. I don't know why people have labeled it the call of the prodigal son. Because it actually ends with the son being in the party. We don't actually know what happened to the elder brother. And I was asking God, I said, God, why? Number one, did you not finish the rest of the story? Because this would be very helpful for me as a pastor. And Jesus said, I did finish the story. I said, what do you mean, God? And he goes, so what should that elder brother have looked like? What should he have looked like? I said, well, I mean, he should have welcomed his brother home. And God was like, well, you know that cost him something, right? Like, that younger brother had wasted his inheritance. Now he's back a part of the family. Now he's taking from the elder son his inheritance, part of it. And I said, yeah, but he should have what? Understood the Father's heart and wanted to freely give that to bring his brother home. He should have been more concerned with what? What the Father wanted than the Father's stuff. And Jesus said, man, that's good. You've gotten the point of the message. And then I just heard so clearly, son, I am your true elder brother. See, we were the one in a pig pen. Jesus was the one who earned everything. He actually did check every mark. He actually did cancel the law. He actually did what? Have all authority in heaven and on earth. He had everything, but rather than keeping it to himself, what did he do? He stepped out of the heavenlies and said what? I will come and give up my inheritance so that what? I can bring my Father's children home. You want to know what a healthy Christ-like life looks like? It's somebody that has so much adoration, so much respect for the cost that it costs the Father and it costs the Son to bring me home. See, in this story, the elder brother was only going to lose a part of his inheritance. In the real story, God gave everything. He gave his one and only Son, that whomsoever would believe in him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. What is he saying? I'll adopt you back into the family. And here's the beautiful part. Like many of us, we come with a plan on how to get back like the younger brother. Here's what I'm gonna do to repay you for every bad thing I do. And please hear me today. When you come to the Father, you know what he says? I cast your sins as far as the east is from the west. Put the coat on him. Put a ring on him. Let's throw a party. You don't have to perform to get back home. You just have to be enamored with the one you're going home to. So here's my question to you today. What have you been trusting in? Seriously, what have you been trusting in? Have you been trusting in the self-discovery model? Like, I'm gonna find my way and, you know, I may make some mistakes, but you know, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Actually, some things just kill you. I'm just trying to figure it out. But you're trusting in yourself to what? Know how to live in the Father's house. Or are you the other person on the other side of the aisle that you've been around this for a little too long? And man, you've got all the right things down, and yeah, you read your Bible and you pray, and yeah, you know, go to the Bible study, and you know, you think, you know, all this kind of stuff. You're doing all the right things, but you've lost a sense in your life of what matters most. You've stopped feeling the goodness and the grace of God in your life. You've stopped feeling the unbelievable love of God in your life. Therefore, when you see it being shown to other people, you don't celebrate anymore. You've lost your worship. You've lost your passion for the lost. Here's what I want to say to you. Let's come home. Let's come home to a Father. Just like my opening story. Some of you have been visiting a place that used to feel like home, but it doesn't anymore. Because why? The focus of the relationship has shifted. We've got to realign us, whether we put ourselves in the sinner category or the Pharisee category. There's only one category going forward, and that's God's great love for us. I'm going to receive it. I'm going to take it on myself, and I'm going to believe that I'm going to experience a Father who runs towards me, who welcomes me home, who throws a party. See, some of you have lost this. I'm going to linger here just for a moment. You've lost this because you forget that God parties over you. He celebrates over you. And the devil's tried to do everything he can to feed negativity through other people, through other things, to try to steal you're a part of the family. Just ignore him. You got a great Father who loves you dearly, and we've got a great older brother who gave his life for us. This is our mission at this church. No matter where you've come from, no matter what's your background, welcome home. We got to leave that behind. Can't just come in the Father's house and just, you know. The whole point is that we've left younger brother, older brother syndrome behind to what? Fall in love with the Father. That's salvation. And Jesus is our pathway forward. For he said that no man comes to the Father except through me. He is our great older brother who paid the price, who gave up everything. So what? That we could bring us back home.
Thanks for checking out the My City Church podcast. We hope that this message inspired you to love God, love people, and lead in life. If you'd like to connect with us further, please visit us on the web at mycitychurch.cc. Until next time, we are believing that the best is yet to come in your life.